We're going to be looking at some really tough stuff. We're going to be looking at some very convicting words of the Lord. Okay? Hopefully, I want to let you guys know where I'm going so you don't get too like discouraged in the study, because hopefully we're all going to be able to see, in light of what Christ says, hopefully we'll all be able to see how, just some more of how sinful we are, and just some more, you know, a little bit more of how just unpleasing, how offensive we are to the Lord in certain ways. But what I want you guys to understand, and we're going to get to this at the end again, is that, you know, God knows this about us. He knows our inadequacies, and He knows our failures, and, you know, and that's the point. The point is He comes into the world, He sends Christ into the world to enter into all of this with us and to provide a way to set things right for us. So, you know, that's where we're getting through all this. But anyway, yeah, so who wants to read? Sandy, did you want to read just, not the whole thing, but just, read down to verse, all the way through verse 24. 19 through 24.
Okay. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of the light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
All right. So we're gonna first. I've split this up into two sections. So we're gonna look at this first section first, and just kind of see what is he talking about. I mean, treasures on earth, treasures on heaven. Okay, that's kind of easy, right? What the heck is this thing about the eye? I don't know. You know, we'll look at that, and so we'll kind of figure out what he's saying here. Maybe talk a little bit about what does that mean. I'll talk a little about what that means for me, and hopefully, you know, you guys can think about what it means for you, and then we'll hit the next section. So let's see if my magic works. It's not working yet. Oh, wait, I'm hitting the wrong button. Here we go. Okay, so that was the first section, right? Bam, look at that. All right. Yeah, thank you. I spent hours on this. Okay. So here's the first section, right? Treasures on earth. Don't store it for yourselves treasures on earth. Rust and moth, thieves, and so on and so forth. But store it for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, you know, that one should be a pretty easy one, right? Why is the Lord telling us, I mean, he even shows right here why. But, you know, look at this. We shouldn't store up treasures on earth. And there's a reason for it, right? What's that reason? They're temporary. Exactly. That's the best way to put it. They're temporary. You know, what happens, you get millions of dollars and, you know, all kinds of fancy cars and whatnot. What happens after you die? What happens with that stuff? It goes to your kids. It gets divided up, you know. And then now what? You know. So the Lord's, you know, pointing that out to us. And what's interesting, I find really interesting, is where your treasure is, what's going to be with your treasure? Your heart. What you care about, you know. You guys ever notice that? You guys ever seen someone who has a, like, I saw this the other day. I was walking out of my house and I see this guy has one of those new Mustangs, one of the new, whatever, 2006 or 2000, whatever, one of those new Mustangs, GT, you know, it was white, and like the guy's out there washing it, like he had finished washing it, and he's just sitting there on the side mirror, just polishing the side mirror, you know, and it's like, I'm walking out and I'm just thinking, treasures on earth, man. You know, where your heart is, there your treasure is. This guy just like, you know, I don't know the guy, so, you know, I don't want to jump to too many conclusions, but you can just tell by the way he's caring for his vehicle that it's very important to him, you know. And I'm wondering, you know, what are some things that are treasures to us? What are some things that I have in my life that are treasures to me that I really care about? You know, you can ask yourself a question like, if there was a fire in my house, like, you know, what would be the two things I want to grab out of my house? Maybe those are your treasures, you know? Just things like that. You can just kind of think about, well, what, you know, what do I really care about? And anyway, so I have some examples. I got to point it this way. I have some examples here of, I thought this was cool. This is a picture of the iPhone from opening day. And I don't know if any of you guys had friends that were all stoked about the iPhone and all excited about it. I had a guy at work who was just like, a week and a half till the iPhone comes out. A week and a half till the iPhone comes out. You know, and he goes out and gets it on opening day, you know. But like, take a look at this guy right here. You know, look at the smile on his face. Where's his heart? You know, right here in this moment. Now, I don't know where his heart is right now. I don't know where his heart was before, but you can kind of tell right here in this moment where his heart is, you know? So I thought that was kind of cool, you know, and then, so what are some other treasures, you know, cars? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then if you're like me, you know, your treasure is just piles of junk. That's my treasure. All right. So these are kind of our treasures. And then we got this next passage. Anybody have any clue what the heck is going on here? Eye is the lamp of the body. Now, this is NASB. Just so you guys know, the New American Standard. You guys all have NIVs, or most of you. If you have the Blue Bible, it's NIV. So your guys says, if your eye is good, I have NIV right here too. If your eye is good, your whole body's full of light, right? If your eye is clear is another translation. King James says, if your eye is single. What does this mean? I took a look at a lot of different translations and kind of talked to my brother a bit, and he looked at some things and trying to figure this out. And your eye, what do you do with your eye? You look. Okay. You ever heard the term like your mindset, or what your focus is, what you got your eye on? You know? Saying the eye is a lamp of the body. What you have your focus on is going to show. Okay? A lamp illuminates, you know, gives off light, shows what's going on. What's important to you, people can tell, right? Anybody have like an example of this? You know, like let's say you know somebody. Anybody know anybody who has a really extremely favorite football team? Billy knows somebody? Yeah? What does he do? What does he do like the day, you know, like the day after they win a big game, or like, you know, you ever see people like Walker, they got the jersey on or whatever, you know, they're, yeah. Yeah, see, and you got Jordan, you know, wearing his Bears thing. But anyway, you know, we got, you know, what we have our focus on, what we have our mindset on, kind of shows in how we live and how we act and how we talk. That's a lot of examples of this, but we'll hit that again. But now he's saying, if your eye is clear, if your eye is good, if your eye is clear, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. And what my brother told me was that we'll be full of light is more of a way of saying your body will shine, it'll illuminate. If your eye is good. We looked up this word, the word that says if your eye is good, we looked up that word good, and there's a different word that's more commonly used to mean good, and this word means, it's translated as good, clear, single, healthy, or sincere are common translations for it. If your focus is on something sincere and good and single, your body is going to glow. Your body is going to your life is going to shine. Okay? But if your eye is bad, and we looked at this word bad, and bad is bad, evil, worthless, and useless. Or we could even say temporary. If your focus is on temporary things, useless things, worthless things, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You guys remember a few weeks ago when we talked about the salt of the earth and the light of the world? A couple pages back. He says, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I think Jesus is kind of, you know, referring to what he had just talked about, you know, a few pages back. This is all in the same sermon. He was talking about be a light of the world. And then he says, look, you want to be a light of the world, what's your focus on? What's your mindset on? You know, if you want to be a light of the world, if you want to be a Christian, but your focus and your mindset is on temporary stuff, if your focus and your mindset is on, oh, I got to do good in my career, I got to do good at school, I got to do good at, you know, I got to achieve these goals. If your focus and your mindset is on earthly stuff and not on heaven, then your light is not going to shine very well. It's going to be darkness. People are, you know, like think about it. You got a Christian, you know, you have someone who's a Christian and they're walking around saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. But like you can tell by the way they live their life that their focus and their pursuits is not on God's kingdom and not on heaven, but just on, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. But what's really important to me from what you can see is, you know, these the same goals and the same everything else that, you know, everybody else does, you know. Like what kind of light is showing off of that? And then, nice. Here's the next section. No one can serve two masters. For he'll either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. An interesting, how many of you guys have, let's see, what does it say in the NIV again? You can't serve both God and money. Anybody here have King James? You have New King James? What's it say? God and mammon. You guys heard that before? See, watch this. Now, I worked on this. Watch that word wealth, okay? Whoop. Mammon. Yeah, that took me a while to figure out. I'm just kidding. It didn't take too long. It's a Mac. All right. God and mammon. Because I looked at this word for wealth, and there's like, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of hits for wealth. But when you search this particular word for wealth that's used in, it's actually an Aramaic word. It only comes up like 4 times in the Bible instead of hundreds of times for other words for wealth and riches and so on and so forth. There's a very particular meaning here, which, thanks to the internet, I found out. Mammon means wealth as an object of desire and worship. So you have, basically, you know, Jesus is setting up 2 options here along the whole way. You know, what's your desire of your heart? What's your treasure? Is it temporary stuff or is it eternal stuff? What do you have your mindset on? Is your mindset on the kingdom of God? Is it on heaven? Is it on Christ, or is your mindset on just worthless, worldly things? And then he's like, look, bottom line is, you know, you're serving a master. Either you're serving one or the other. You're loving one, you're hating the other, you're devoted to one, you despise the other. Either you're serving God as God, or you're serving wealth as an object of desire and worship. What does that really mean? Like, wealth as a desire, as an object of desire and worship. What does that look like? How can you tell, like, if I wanted to look at myself and tell how, you know, am I serving mammon, you know, or, you know, what are some ways that, like, kind of show that? How do you tell? Any thoughts? How do you tell who you're serving? Or what is mammon? What does this look like? I kind of made a loose connection to, you guys ever heard it's not really a word, it's two words, but you ever heard, you know, the American dream? What's the American dream? Get rich, big house, beautiful wife or husband in some cases, depending. You know, right? Some people it's like the white picket fence, right? You heard that? Oh, I want to have this lovely house and the green lawn and the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids and, you know, the American dream, right? And for other people, it's like, you know what? I want to be the best in my industry, right? Like for me, I spent, I've been working for In-N-Out for 8 years and I spent at least 7 of it, or not, probably not the first couple of years, but so I spent about 5 years of working at In-N-Out of just, you know, I want to be the best. I want to be the best employee, the best associate. I want to be the best manager, the best in my industry, you know? And if you think about that, I can think about it. You guys can't really think about it because you're not me, but when I think about it, I can look at my life and I can see, because literally, that was the mammon in my life. It was one of them, one of many, dozens. I actually, last year I wrote down a list of things that I love that I love in addition to God or other than God or, you know, so on and so forth. And there's a lot of things on the list. But this was one of them, in and out. You know, if that's my mammon, if that's what I'm serving, like I want to be the best in my industry, then that dictates to me the choices that I make, right? Like, let's say I have an opportunity to go on a mission trip or whatever, but you know what? Work really needs me. And I can be there at work, and if I'm there at work for my store, that'll build up, you know, they'll build more respect for me, and then that'll, you know, increase the speed that I'm getting promoted and so on and so forth. And it changes kind of the decisions that you make, the people you hang out with, the things you think about, the things you talk about, you know, a lot of things, how you spend your money, everything changes depending on what you're serving. I don't remember what the next slide is. Oh, there we go. Yeah, American dream. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness is one way I found it summed it up, you know? This is like, we get taught this all throughout school, you know, like this is what, you know, life should be about, is you can do what you want in your life, your freedom, you pursue what you want to pursue. But Christ is saying, okay, you can do that, but you're not serving God. You're either serving God or you're serving your own life, your own liberty, your own pursuit of happiness. Either you're pursuing God or you're pursuing worldly happiness. And he kind of, you know, sets it up as a choice. You can't do both. One or the other. Okay, so here's an example. I gave you guys turn to Matthew 19. And there's all kind. I tried to narrow down how many examples we turn to because there's like a billion, but this is one that's, I think, is really cool. This is the rich young ruler. Matthew 19, verse 16. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept, what am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. and come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And you can see, I think you can clearly see in this, let's see if I can go back to the other slide. You can clearly see in that passage, that rich young man, you can tell what his treasure is. He's rich, what was important to him. You can kind of tell what his mindset was, you know. I mean, at first it kind of looked like he wanted to seek God, but when Christ laid it out, said, hey, you know what? You got to pick your treasures, and you got to pick who you're serving. You know, his mindset was like, you know what, I'd rather have my riches. You know, he walked away because he didn't want to give it up. And I'm wondering, you know, what are some things in our lives that we don't want to give up? What are some things in our lives that keep us from really following Christ that we don't want to give up? What are some treasures? What are some mindsets? What are some mammon? What are some things that are important to us that we don't want to give up, that keep us from following Him? So that's that slide we just did. And I think we're now going to the next section. There we go. Who wants to read this 25 through 30? Of back to chapter 6, by the way. Anyone? Bueller? 25 through 30? Anyone? Sam, you have a Bible? Oh, you can just read the thing. Go ahead. My favorite part in this passage, this is the first half of the passage, we're going to hit the second half. So actually, I split it up into three parts, I guess, but this is the first half of the second passage. Second part, anyway. My favorite part of this, you guys have NIV, it says that first, verse 25, that first word says what? Therefore. And what do we do when there's a therefore? Yeah, thanks. You look at what the therefore is there for, right? What we just read. You guys have heard that before. Come on. All right. What we just read. Jesus is saying, pick a team. You're either serving God or you're serving wealth, right? What's one of the first things that's going to hit us is like, how can I, you know, that doesn't make any sense. Like, how can I, like, if I'm going to go serve God and not serve wealth, then like, who's going to pay my bills? You know, who's going to, you know, make my car payment? Who's going to buy food for me? Like how, you know, Jesus is saying, look, you're serving one or the other. You know, your heart's on one or the other, your focus on one or the other, but it has to be both because I have to, you know, I have to be able to support myself, right? And he's saying, look, pick a team. Oh, and by the way, when you pick a team, you know, check this out. God takes care of his creation. God takes care of his creation. And look at the next slide. Let me read it from here. He says, don't worry then. Don't worry then. If you're picking a team and you're picking God and you're deciding not to serve wealth, you're deciding not to serve mammon, and you're worried about how am I going to do this stuff? How am I going to live? He says, don't worry. Don't worry then saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I have a little, I don't think I have time. You have time. I have a little story on this that happened this year. Because the cool thing is, God is God, you know, and we're not. God's God and we're not. He knows what he's doing. We don't, right? And, you know, earlier this year, I was really, really, really convicted a lot about what my heart's focus is, what my treasure was in my life, what my mindset was, you know, because I had a lot of mammon, I had a lot of, my mindset, a lot of worthless things, you know, there's like, you know, hopes and dreams that I had for my life that I felt were very important, that were really dictating, you know, like I'll be real with you guys, one of the main reasons why I've been working for, why I was, you know, working for In-N-Out and pursuing a career was so that I would have a means to provide for a family that I hope to have, you know, and that was something that was really important to me. Like, I really wanted to have a family someday. I really wanted to, you know, get married and have kids and so on and so forth. And I was thinking, okay, well, in order to do that, I got to have a job. And you can see how that progression works, you know, from earlier, how, you know, what's important to you, what you set your mind on, you know, dictates who you serve. And I really wasn't serving God wholeheartedly, very, very partially heartedly was I serving God, you know, and I was serving a lot of just, you know, my hopes, my desires, what I wanted to do. And so God was gracious enough to really crush a lot of my hopes and dreams, like all at once, which was really cool because I was praying beforehand, so I knew it was of God when it happened. I was praying beforehand saying, God, I want to be more dependent on you. I want to be more dependent on you. I want to be more devoted to you. And then, you know, just one thing after another, God just started ripping these things out of my life. And it did, you know, it did suck. I'm not going to say it didn't suck. It was really painful. But it was also really cool because I was seeing God. God was teaching me and working me through the whole process. And he was right there with me. Like, every time I needed him, he was there. He was always there. And one of the really cool things that happened was in February, I stepped down out of the career path at In-N-Out because I just felt like I really felt like the Lord was just calling me, hey, you know what? Your time is not your time, it's my time, is what God was telling me. You have a short amount of time and you need to spend it doing things that are important, doing things that are eternal, not doing things that aren't, you know, that are temporary, you know, was the feeling I was getting. And I was like, you know, why am I volunteering a little bit of my time in ministry, but spending most of my time and my energy and my thoughts and my life at work, you know? And I really felt that God was calling me to shift that, you know? And so I did, you know, I called up my divisional manager and said, look, I'm stepping down out of the fast track of management, you know, took a big pay cut, so on and so forth. And also at the same time, this is a couple months before it was time for me to move out of the house that I was at. And see, most of you guys probably don't know how this stuff works, but like generally when you move, you have to pay, you know, in the same month, in the month of May, in this particular case, I had to pay my last month's rent at my old place, and I had to pay my first month's rent and security deposit at my new place. So I have, you know, like double the rent I got to pay in 1 month, you know. And I knew that was coming up, and I knew that there would be no way that I was going to be able to afford it, you know, but I didn't feel like I had a choice anyway. I was just like, I got to do this, you know, like enough fooling around. I got to do what God's telling me to do, you know. And so I did, and then you know, it starts getting closer and closer to May, and I'm just like looking at my checkbook and I'm like, oh man. You know, and I started worrying. I'm like, oh man, and I remember it was a Tuesday night. I don't remember what Tuesday night it was, but I remember it was a Tuesday night. I called up my older brother. I called up my brother John, and I called him up. I'm like, hey, I'm going to need to borrow some money. I'm going to need to borrow some money in May to pay rent and stuff like that. And he was like, yeah, sure, that's no problem, you know. Just let me know whatever you need, and I'll help you out. And I was like, all right, cool, you know. And I was really thankful to have, you know, family like that, family that cares like that. But what was really, really cool was what happened the next day. The next day, it was Wednesday morning, and I was actually here at the church for a class. And at the break, we have like a 10-minute break. And at the break, I got a phone call from my store manager, and he was like, hey, Angela in the payroll department at the corporate office in Irvine. So this is someone who's like, you know, not directly connected to me in any way. She's like, Angela in the payroll department, this is, just to clarify here, this is 3 weeks after I stepped down out of management. And he says, Angela in the payroll department wants to know if you want to take your vacation hours that you have accumulated. You can take those and cash them all out at your old rate of pay, or you can keep them at your new rate of pay. And so I'm like, so I can, you know, I had like 170 something vacation hours. I'm like, okay, so I can keep those hours at a significantly lower rate of pay, or I can cash them out at a rate of pay that I didn't have, like that I had 3 weeks ago. And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, well, I'll cash them out, you know. And I ended up getting, after tax, like $1,700, which, you know, covered everything. Like, I was able to pay every bill that month, everything taken care of. And immediately, the first thought that came to my mind was this. This is immediate. I wasn't even praying and asking God for help, but I got hit with this, and God was like, look, I make promises, I keep them. That's what God was saying. I make promises and I keep them. And that was really cool because, I, you know, how many promises have I made that I haven't kept with the Lord, you know? And how many promises have you guys made with the Lord that you haven't kept? But God says, no, I'm faithful to my promises. He says, don't even worry about it. I'll take care of you, you know? And a really cool thing, I ended up later on, like a few months later, I ended up writing Angela a little thank you card. And then I wrote in there, I told her I thought of this passage when I just told her how much of a blessing it was from God that she did this, you know? Not really knowing. I've talked to her on the phone when I've had to call payroll department, but, you know, not really knowing. But anyway, it ends up she's a Christian too, which is really cool. So she's a Christian. And I just thought, man, it's cool how God just like, you know, like just, and she's not even the payroll person for my division. She's a payroll person for a different division. So God just put it on her heart. Hey, look into this guy. Find out if he wants this, you know, just out of nowhere, like just completely a work of God, you know? And this is what he's talking about here. Also notice it says, but seek first his kingdom. That's a command. That's a imperative. That's a command. This is a command of Christ saying, seek first his kingdom. And it's in a way of like a continual present tense sort of a way. It's like, this should always be your top priority. Your top priority should always be his kingdom and his righteousness. That should always be your top treasure. That should always be your top mindset. That should always be what you're serving. The kingdom of God, the righteousness of Christ, you know, and everything else he'll take care of, which means your concern should not be any of those other things. So, here's a few questions, and then I'm going to have like one little final note. But here's a few questions, you know, from this, you can kind of see it up here, from the treasures, you know, what do I treasure? Where your treasures, your heart's going to be. What do I treasure? What do I love? What do I treasure and what do I love? From the eyes and lamp of the body, what's important to me? What is my focus? And what do I serve? And who is my king? I put it like that, who is my king? Because when we're serving mammon and we're doing these things, we're making ourselves our own kings. That's what we're really doing. We're like, we're just saying, you know what I want to do is what I want to do, and I'm in charge of my own life. And the real reality is that Christ alone is the only king. He calls himself the King of Kings. You know, if you walked into a throne room back in the day, you know, where there's a king, you don't walk in unless you get called to go there. You don't just stroll on in and say, hey, I want to talk to the king. The king calls you there, and then you come before him. And you don't say anything, you keep your head down low, you don't do anything, or he can have you immediately killed just for disrespecting him. You know, and Christ calls himself the King of Kings, saying, look, those kings, they come up to me like that. They come up to me bowed down with their heads low. You know, there's one king. And I worry about this a lot for myself. I pray about this a lot, and I worry about it for you guys too, and a lot of my friends and family, is I worry about the way we're living and who we're setting up as our king. It might fly for now. Like, we might be able to get away with it now. We might be able to get away with it, like, you know, doing the Christian thing, but still really just living to serve ourselves. We might be able to pass it off for now, but when we come face to face with the only true king, there's going to be nothing to hide behind. There's going to be nothing to, you know, the reality is going to be shown. The truth's going to be shown, and he's going to stand there and say, you know what, I'm king, and you're not. You know, and it's very, very important for us to realize that now and stop serving ourselves and just to start serving Christ, to step behind him instead of trying to you know, be ahead of him in our lives, but just to stop and step behind him and say, you know what, you're king. You know, you go first. You show me what to do. You lead the way. Because that's the way we want to be when we're going, when we die and when we're face to face with him. We want to be standing behind him, you know, saying, no, Jesus is leading the way for me. I've been following him all the way to here. He's leading the way, you know, because he's getting in, and those that are following after him are going to get in too, you know. There's one last thing that I just wanted to look at. This is Psalm 37. This is just on my mind this morning. Psalm 37, verse 4. 4 and so on, if I decide to read more of it. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Not delight yourself in the desires of your heart, but, excuse me, delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait prosperously for him. So, we're going to close in prayer, but what I want to, you know, like I said in the beginning, like I don't want you guys to like be beating yourselves up right now thinking, well, I mean, you know, actually it's a good thing. You should be beating yourselves up. You know, I spent at least 6 or 7 months really, really, really mourning over this. You know? And you look at the Beatitudes, right? He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know, when you really get to that poor in spirit part, God blesses you, gives you the kingdom of God, you know? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness rather than hungering and thirsting for other things, you know? And so, you know, it is good to some degree to be beating yourself up over this, but at the same time, what I want you guys to know is that, you know, Jesus fully knows all this about us and is fully prepared to handle all of it. He fully knows that we can't handle it. He fully knows that by default, this is what we do. Treasures on earth, focus on worthless things, try to serve two masters. He knows by default this is what we do. He's already completely prepared for that. It pleases God to work in our hearts and to bring us closer to him. That's what he desires to do. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to close in prayer. We're just going to, you know, if you guys are feeling this, you know, just pray, you know, pray along or pray, you know, pray silently, just that God would enter into your heart and really start working on these things, really start correcting these things, really start setting your focus right, you know, because that's really the only, you know, the only thing I've ever seen to actually work is just to spend some solid time in prayer. Just spend some solid time. Look at the Word of God, allow the Word of God to reveal things at face value, what they really are, and then don't be discouraged by it, but just drop on your knees and pray and say, God, you know what, you're the only one that can fix me. You're the only one that can do this. You are the only one who's king, and you deserve to be honored as king in my life, and I don't do it, but I want you to do it. So we're going to go ahead and just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father God, we want to thank you just that you are not only that you're God, that you're God who created the universe, and you're the God who created just everything. You're the God who designed and planned, and but that you're the God who wants us to call you Father. God, that you want us to call you Father, that you want to bring us in as your children. God, we just thank you for that. That's something that none of us have ever deserved, or a lot of us didn't even ask for, God, but that you just did because you love us and because it pleases you, Lord. So God, we thank you for who you are and the work that you're doing. And God, we really do need your help to be faithful servants who can serve you in a way that honors you and brings you glory, God. And God, help us to know that we are not our own, but that you have bought and paid for us, God, that you own us because you made us, and you own us because you paid our price on the cross. God, help us to really feel the weight of what that means and understand that. And God, I just ask that you would just really move in our hearts. And God, sometimes it's hard to see the reality of the greatness of who you are, and we get distracted, God. And I just pray that you would help us to really understand and see you better, and just, God, that you would work in us a desire to seek after you more than anything else, and a desire to be close to you more than anything else. And God, I just pray that you'd make that parable true in our lives, that we would see you as a treasure hidden in the field, and with great joy we would go off and sell, get rid of everything else that we have, just not caring about it, not seeing it as important, but just seeing just the greatness of who you are. And God, I ask that you would just grant us with your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to teach us and to counsel us and to guide us in all these ways, God, that you would just give us a spirit of knowledge and of wisdom and of revelation, and that you would really open up our hearts to know you and to really see you and to really understand what it is, the hope that we have, what it really is, and just how great it really is, Lord God, that the things that you have prepared for us. And help us also, Lord God, to know the power that you have, working in us through your Holy Spirit, that is greater than our willpower, greater than our desires. It's help us to really see the power, the work and power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, moving in our hearts to really change us and turn us into people who can bring glory to your name, God, and turn us into people who can just be examples of what happens when your love enters into someone's life. And we pray these things in the name of your Son. Amen.